I'd like to speak from a verse in Colossians chapter 2, if the Lord would bless us. I want to really focus on the 10th verse tonight, but I'll start reading in the 9th verse. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Speaking of Christ, Paul writes and says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." I'd like to talk about that 10th verse tonight. "And ye are complete in Him." The fact that we as believers in Jesus Christ, the fact that we are complete in Him, and this is so important, it's a present day reality. It's not a blessing in the future. There are, plainly, of course, many blessings that we have to look forward to in the future. We have a host of heaven that's awaiting us. We have some glorious times that are awaiting us. But this is one blessing that is not a far-off thing that we look forward to. The fact that we are complete in Jesus Christ is a present-day reality. It's a reality. The fact that we are complete in Him is, of course, because of what it says in verse 9, that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Apostle Paul didn't say, "You're complete in Me," because the Apostle Paul was himself a sinner. He wasn't omniscient. He didn't have all power. He's himself a man just like they were. But you see, Jesus Christ was and is not just a mere man. In Him, when He walked on this earth, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him. He was God manifest in the flesh. He has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge, all things that we stand in need of, all that is God, He is. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that is why the Apostle Paul would say, "Ye are complete in Him." And I want to talk about tonight the fact that we are complete in Christ. And I'll just first say that we're complete in Christ. In Him, He's sufficient for all of our needs. We're complete in Him regarding salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That tonight you are complete in Jesus Christ and your salvation. That's the glorious truth that we rest in. If you look in, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 very quickly. I don't want to focus on this part because we know it well, but I want to move on. But in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, I want you to notice an amazing verse that we've probably read many times in our lives, but it struck me with a great force recently. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, we're reading this verse with the thought, with the idea that we are complete in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is complete in Him. He is sufficient. He's met all the requirements, satisfied all the needs to save us from our sins. With that thought in mind, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In Christ. Every one of the spiritual blessings that you and I enjoy, they come to us in and through and by the merit of the person and work of Jesus Christ. There's no other way that our spiritual blessings come through us. I'm not going to go on further in Ephesians chapter 1, but we all know if you look in there, we'll find that we were chosen in the covenant of grace. Chosen how? In Him. Not chosen in ourselves, chosen in Christ. Because God the Father placed us, the elect children of God, in Him before the foundation of the world. He says that we have redemption. How? Through His blood. How are we redeemed? Are we redeemed through our good works? Are we redeemed through the family that we were born into? Are we redeemed because of all the times, all the good prayers that we've prayed? We're redeemed completely and totally by the blood of Jesus Christ. And only by that blood, because that blood was sufficient and satisfactory to take away our sin and guilt. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You're forgiven of all of your sins tonight, not because a preacher or a priest forgave you, but you're forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It says that we have been made, it goes on in Ephesians 1, we're accepted. How? How are we accepted with God? We're accepted in the Beloved. God said, "This is My Beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You are accepted tonight in the family of God only in the person of Jesus Christ. There's no other way that we could be accepted. It would go down further on there in that chapter and say, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance." The inheritance, the glories that we have coming through us, how do we get that? In Jesus Christ. You see, all the blessings are all completely wrapped up in Christ alone. You see, He gets all the glory and all the honor. The Apostle Paul was writing this Colossian letter to a church that was having some heresy that was being brought in by the Gnostics. And then it was a complicated teaching that they had, but part of what they did, they really denigrated the person of Jesus Christ. They said God really didn't dwell in His flesh. You see, that's the method of Satan, to dethrone and put down Jesus Christ. But what does the Scriptures do? The Scriptures exalt Him. They lift Him up. They say, "You're complete in Him. He is all that you need." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 would say, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." You see, it's all taken care of in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You're liberty. You're in liberty. You have freedom in Christ tonight because you don't have to worry about it. You know, as far as God the Father is concerned, that you're righteous and you're legally justified in the sight of God through Jesus Christ, because we are complete in Him. There's no need for us to look to any other source for salvation. There's no need for us to look to any other atoning work. There's no need for us to look to any other source for healing or cleansing or forgiveness or pardon. We look to Christ alone. Christ alone. But you know, the fact, and we all know, as I've said, that our salvation eternally before God the Father was taken care of. We know that. We know Christ is sufficient to take care of that. We believe that. But you know what? Jesus Christ is sufficient to take care of our daily needs as well. Not only as far as eternity is concerned, but in our walk here in this life, we are complete in Him. We find all that we need in Jesus Christ. There's no need to go to any other source in this life. Not for peace or comfort or joy or strength. There's no other need to go to anywhere else but to Jesus Christ, because we're complete in Him. And I'm going to turn to a few scriptures to show that. In John chapter 4, first of all, John chapter 4. This is of course, the Samaritan woman that Jesus was speaking with here. And I won't go into the whole story, but I want to read the 13th and 14th verses. Where do we look to for fulfillment? Where do we look to for satisfaction? People in the world look to many different sources. I heard a conversation recently with some people at school, and they were talking about what their passion was in life, their passion. And one girl said her passion was horses and horse racing. I never knew so much about horse racing. I mean, she talked about 20 minutes. I mean, she knew how they breeded them, and she knew how they were going to turn out, what races they wanted. She was really excited about that. That was her passion. There's nothing wrong with horses. There's another, but she was obviously had it out of context, priority. The other person, her passion was knowledge. She wanted to learn new ideas, meet new people, discover new things, discover new philosophies, and learn. And certainly knowledge is good, and learning good things and new things is proper in its place. But I tell you, that is water that will make you thirsty again. That's what Jesus Christ was speaking to this woman here. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." You see, we can drink of this world, you can drink of all the pleasures of the world, but you're going to get thirsty again. I can guarantee you that. Just as we drink of natural water, it satisfies us for a moment, but we've got to have some more of it later. It's the same with living in the world, living apart from Christ. We can think we can find satisfaction in some things for a time. They may bring temporary fulfillment and satisfaction, but you know what? We're going to get thirsty again. Isn't that what happened to the prodigal son? When you think about the prodigal son, he was in a good position when he started out. He was in his father's house. He had all that he needed. He was clothed. He was probably rich. He had food to eat. He had everything that he needed in his father's house. But what did he do? He went off into the world. He said, "I can find satisfaction there. I can find fulfillment there." So he took all of his substance. He wasted it in a party life. And for a little while, he had a good time. For a little while, he thought he'd made a good decision. But you know what? He got thirsty again, didn't he? He bought himself a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, a lot of hunger, and a lot of shame. But aren't you thankful he came back to where the true source of living water was? Jesus said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is that living water. That if we drink of Him, then we'll never thirst again. He is sufficient for fulfillment in our life. We're complete in Him. We don't need to go to anywhere else for a source of joy. We don't need to go to anywhere else for a source of fulfillment. We're complete in Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? That you don't have to look to your money to give you happiness and satisfaction. You don't have to search, "I wonder what will make me happy," and search in 100 different places. You know what it is. It's in the living water. It's in Jesus Christ. You're complete in Him. But moving on now, I want to turn back to Colossians chapter 2 and read a verse there. Not only are we sufficient in Christ for salvation, for fulfillment in this life, but I tell you, you know, there are times in this life, and I want to go over several different things that Christ is, we're sufficient in Him. And one of those things is, you know, there are a lot of times in life when we have to make decisions. And we need wisdom. We need instruction. We need guidance. Let's face it, there's times we all go through that we have decisions that we need to make. There's choices to be decided upon. Am I going to go this path or that? And we need wisdom, don't we? We need wisdom.
I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is sufficient for that. He is. That's truth. He is sufficient for that. Remember what I told you? This is a present day reality. You have decisions that need to be made. You have questions upon your mind. Jesus Christ is sufficient to give you the wisdom that you need. There's no need to go to other sources. There's no need to go to the world. You go to Christ alone. He is the one that is sufficient to give us that. Look here in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 3. Speaking of Christ, it says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In Jesus Christ is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, we need a lot of wisdom in life, don't we? Where do we go? We must go to Christ. I've been thinking a lot. I've been exercised in prayer more lately for the families in our church, because I see in the world today how there is so much of an attack upon God's institution of a family, of being between a man and a woman having children and then raising up in the proper way. Satan hates that, and he's attacking that. Now, I want to let you know, you parents, so I've been praying for you a lot lately. God's put you in my heart that God would give you wisdom in guiding and raising up your families in a wicked and a perverse generation, in a place where there's so many wicked influences at every turn. And you must wonder sometimes, how do we do it? I tell you how you do it. The only way you can have wisdom is looking to Jesus Christ. Not looking to Parents Today or whatever magazine that thing is called, but you look to Jesus Christ. He has the wisdom that is sufficient for you to guide and raise up your families in the nurture and right ways of the Lord. He has all that wisdom that you need. We here at our church, we need wisdom right now, don't we? Regarding our building situation. We need wisdom. What do we do? Do we stay and add on? Do we go? What's going to happen in the future in this neighborhood? Where do we look? Just like we did in praying yesterday, we look to Jesus Christ because He is sufficient to give us that wisdom that we need. There's no need to go to any other source. No need to go to the world. We have all the wisdom that we need in Jesus Christ for the way that we live our lives. The world's wisdom is always changing. The moral standards of the world, right and wrong, is always changing in the world. Or sometimes it's blurry. But we have black and white. We have solid truth. We have solid wisdom in the Word of God, in the person of Jesus Christ. He's sufficient to give us that wisdom. He is sufficient. I won't turn there. I'd like to, but I won't turn there. But in Isaiah 31, there's a time when Judah was, the Assyrian army was coming upon them. And you see, apparently, I guess their military was somewhat weak at this time, but they were very afraid because the Assyrians were a mighty army. They were a mighty army. But what should God's people have done? All down through their history, God said, if you keep my laws, keep my commandments, and call upon my name for deliverance and depend upon me, I'll deliver you. And all throughout their history, God did that. He delivered them in Egypt. Amazing victory. He delivered them in the Promised Land. Amazing victories. But what did they do here? They got smart in the wisdom of the world. They said, hey, let's go down to Egypt. They have this big military. They've got a lot of horses. They've got a lot of chariots. They've got a lot of foot soldiers. Let's go down to Egypt and they'll deliver us. What a brilliant plan. But God said in Isaiah 31, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, that stay on horses and chariots. Woe to us if we depend, no matter what it is for wisdom or anything else, woe to us if we depend upon anything else but our God, because He is sufficient to meet those needs. And you know what happened? They fell because they depended upon Egypt for help. They depended upon Egypt. Let's look in Philippians chapter 4. We need help. We need wisdom. Well, we're also called upon, as our pastor has been preaching lately, that we are commanded in Scripture to grow. And that we know that in our daily life it's a continual struggle against sin. As I believe he mentioned this morning, that there's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. A carnal nature. There's always a mortification that needs to take place. We always have to put the death, the deeds of the body. We always have sins, the ones that are easily besetting us. So where do we do? Is Christ sufficient for that? Is He sufficient to help us to walk in the righteous paths? Is He sufficient to help us to grow? We're commanded to grow. Paul told the Thessalonian church, as you've received of you how you ought to walk and to please more and to please God, so you ought to abound more and more. That's a command of Scripture. That we're to be growing. We're to be drawing nearer to God, close to God. How do we do that? How do we do that? We look to the one who we're complete in. We look to the one who we're sufficient in. The Apostle Paul, we all know this in Philippians 4 and verse 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Apostle Paul said, I can do it through Christ. This is amazing. This is really amazing, the context that he's speaking of herein. He just said that he learned to be content in whatever condition that he was in. He said, I know how to be a base. I know how to abound. I know how to have a lot. I know how to do that. He said, but I also know how to have nothing. I also know how to have nothing. I've learned to be content.
We kind of look at Paul and say, you know what, he's just kind of one of those guys that you just kind of, he's unbelievable. I mean, he said, here's one that said that he glories in his tribulations, glories in his infirmities, that he may be close to God.
Well, how did the Apostle Paul accomplish these things? How did he do it? He did it through Jesus Christ. The same Spirit of God that rested and blessed in the Apostle Paul, that same Spirit of God dwells inside the hearts of each one of you. And it's the same power that he gave the Apostle Paul to do all the things that he did. You have the same power in you tonight. Isn't that encouraging to know that? That Paul wasn't just some super Christian that he kind of had an easy road. He had supernatural power. No, he was a man just like you are. But God gave him the power and the grace that he needed to walk in the ways that he was to walk. And that same power we have tonight. We are complete in Jesus Christ. He is sufficient for all of our needs. That's really true. You say, well, there's just these some sins that, or some struggles that I have.
I never feel like I can grow. Never feel like I can get over that hump. But I tell you what, if we're really looking to Christ, really depending upon Him, really obeying Him, He's going to bless us to grow. Because you know what? When we're seeing Him as our all in all, when we're looking to Christ for all our needs and we're sufficient in Him, who gets the glory? Christ does. Because we know it's of Him. We know it's of His working. We know that if we do anything good, it's of His working in us. All the glory goes back up to Him. All up to Him. And unless we have a high view of Christ, then we're not going to have that confidence in Him. But in the same Colossian letter, the Apostle Paul was writing about how that Christ created all things. That amazing power. And then he talked about how that by Christ all things were being upheld. All things were continuing on, being sustained by the hand of Jesus Christ. That's amazing power, isn't it? That's the same one that you and I have power from tonight. That's real. It's genuine. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that He has the grace that we need? Do we really believe He's sufficient to help us to grow? He is. He is sufficient for that need. Look back in Philippians chapter 4. You see, this extends to all different aspects. This applies to so many different things. What about, somebody might say, well, what about just very human problems like financial needs? What about things like that? Is Christ sufficient to take care of me in that? And that's where faith really comes down to really, really manifesting itself as being true, doesn't it? Is Christ able to really supply my needs day to day? Is He able to do that? Is He sufficient for that? Am I complete in Him in that regard? The Apostle Paul again would say in Philippians 4, 19, but my God shall supply all your need. He was speaking in financial context there. He says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, Christ is sufficient and able even to supply very human things like finances. And I'm sure I haven't never been in a state like that, but people who are, I'm sure that's a real test of faith. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet your needs. Not looking to the world, but looking to Christ alone. He's sufficient to meet even very human needs like that. That's good news. We're complete in Him. Someone says, well, what about burdens? What about cares? Brother Justin mentioned some of these things on Wednesday night. In Psalm 55, maybe somebody out there tonight is burdened. Maybe somebody that is weighed down. Maybe someone feels overwhelmed. Maybe someone has whatever care or burden, it may be weighing heavily upon you. I tell you, Jesus Christ is sufficient for that as well. He's sufficient for that as well. I love this verse in Psalm 55 and verse 22. What burden do we have? What burden? What do we do with that burden? What do we do with that care? What do we do with that trouble? What do we do with that pressure that's weighing down upon us? Whatever it may be. Maybe a family problem. What do we do with that? How do we handle that? Maybe a problem on the job. How do we handle that? Maybe pressure, maybe being so busy and just overwhelmed. And what do we do with that burden? Well, we find out here in Psalm 55 and verse 22. David says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He says, you have a burden, you have a pressure, you have a care, cast it upon the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Aren't you seeing how everything about us, we're complete in Christ. If it's human things like finances, if it's spiritual things like growing, if it's burdens, if it's pressure, if it's care, whatever it is, we're sufficient in Jesus Christ, being complete in Him. Look at the Apostle Paul. This is just the same kind of thing as illustrated in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at what the Apostle Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I love this verse here. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16. The context here of Paul's last letter is that he's writing from Rome. And regarding verse 16, he had to give a defense, an answer for people who were accusing him, probably before some of the Roman courts. People accusing him, people attacking him. But you know what happened to the Apostle Paul? Everybody forsook him. All of his friends. I mean, that's when you need your friends the most. When people are attacking you falsely. When people are shooting arrows at you. When they're coming hard at you. Everybody's against you. People are against you. That's when you need your friends to step up. That's when you need your friends to say, I'm with you. I'm encouraging you. I'm praying for you. But the Apostle Paul didn't have any of that here. Look what he says in verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that may not be laid to their charge. Paul says, when I needed my friends the most. And he had a lot of friends in Rome. There are a lot of Christians there. But they all forsook him. They didn't want to be associated with him. Can you imagine if you're standing up in the stand at the bar of justice and you look out and all you see is wicked faces of people who hate you and want to do away with you? I'll tell you, it'd be a lot more encouraging to be able to look over a section over here and say, there's my friend. And they're saying, oh, we're with you. They're nodding your head. We're praying for you. We're behind you. That'd help you out some, wouldn't it? But here the Apostle Paul didn't have any of that. They all forsook him. He said, well, the hour that I needed them the most, they said, see you later. People that I helped, they forsook me when I needed them and I needed their help. Paul's in a bad condition. But I tell you, Jesus Christ was sufficient to take care of the Apostle Paul. Look what he says in the next verse. Yes, all men forsook him. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Don't you love that? Even when he was all alone. You ever been lonely? Nobody's with you? You feel all alone in the world? The Apostle Paul says, Christ is sufficient even to take care of a need like that. Everybody forsook me. My friends forsook me. It was just me against my enemies. But the Lord Jesus Christ stood with Paul. He gave him the words to say, no doubt. He gave him the clear mind. He gave him the boldness. He gave him the trust in God, not fearing man, not being afraid. And he blessed him to stand up, no doubt, and to give a strong defense. Even though his friends weren't there. They should have been there, but they weren't there. But even in that hour, even in that extreme hour, even in that very needful hour, Jesus Christ was sufficient for his needs. And that's the same for you and I today, that we are complete in him. You have a struggle, you have a burden, take it to the Lord. You have a need, go to the Lord. You need help, go to the Christ. He's sufficient. We're complete in him. Not only for our salvation and eternity, that's glorious. We're complete. We don't need anything else. Right here in this life, we have what we need through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you.